the beginning of a new series we are doing. It's called Faith Like Abraham, and we're going to be taking a few weeks. We're not sure how many this will involve, but we're going to talk about Abraham. He's a prophet from the Old Testament. We've been talking about his life. We're going to talk about his walk with God, his faith walk, particularly with God. And do I sound all right? It seems like I'm pretty loud.
There's like slight echo, like, I think.
Slight echo up here. Yeah.
Up here, anyhow. Hello, hello. Glad you're here.
We're trying some new lighting in here, too. We just quite haven't gotten down what we want to do with the lighting. So if it seems, hopefully it doesn't seem a little bit too dim for you guys there that are taking notes. And so we're working on it. Can you see okay? Everybody all right? All right, good. So talking about Abraham, you know, besides for Moses, there's no Old Testament prophet mentioned more in the New Testament than Abraham. In Hebrews 11, it points to Abraham as that's kind of the hall of faith for people in Scripture that they name for who walked in faith. And he's a prime illustration of a person who learned to walk in faith with God. In the New Testament, he's called the father of our faith. Look at this in Galatians 3:7. It says, understand then, this is on your outline already, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. And if we hooked another verse from Galatians 3 into that, it says, therefore, we are also rightful heirs to the blessings that were promised to Abraham. So God made a covenant promise to Abraham to bless him and to bless all the nations of that the nations of the world would all be blessed through him. So for that reason, it's important that we understand who he is. If there are blessings that God gave Abraham, that for those of us who believe by faith like him, because it does translate into spiritual blessings for us today that we should exercise our faith towards.
Right.
And not only that, it's going to help us see why even Israel today, because part of this Abrahamic covenant is still in effect for Israel, that although most of the world seems to hate Israel, Israel is still considered the apple of God's eye. And so God is not finished with Israel yet, and God has a blessing in mind for the nation of Israel. But related to faith, this is going to be a practical series because it's going to give us understanding of what real faith looks like.
Yes.
You know, we talk a lot about the love of God, that God's love is poured out towards us. And yet that love requires a response from us. It requires a response of faith from our heart. And so it's important for us to see that this is a reciprocal relationship that we're in with God. And what's going to give us all hope as we look at Abraham's life, because we say he's the hero of faith, and, you know, we can look at people, we call him a prophet, and think, well, that man had to be perfect. He must have just done everything right. But what we're going to see is Abraham was not a perfect man, and he didn't do everything right. None of us will, right? So it's going to give us all hope. He didn't start out with this huge amount of faith. But what he did have was genuine faith.
Yes.
And we talked about some of that last week, you know, that God is looking for genuine faith. Sometimes we get caught up in this idea of we have to have a huge amount of faith. But I suppose it could be likened to, like, in the New Testament where it talks about mustard seed faith.
Right.
Jesus said, if you had faith like the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And so it's not that God's saying, God, you need to have humongous faith. He's just saying, take the little mustard seed size that you have and focus it on me. Focus it in the right direction.
Yes.
Focus it on the person of Jesus Christ and what he can do. Because it's faith, that little mustard seed faith, focused on him, that God is able, that can move a mountain in our life. And so we want to see that Abraham was a man who did that. He didn't start out with humongous faith, but he did learn slowly to rest his full faith in the person of God and in the word of God. So the goal in this series is that we'd become like him, that our faith would rest slowly but surely on the person of Jesus Christ, and it would grow from there, that we would trust in his love for us, we would trust in the promises that we find in God's word, and live more and more by faith. And the Bible says that faith is pleasing to God. How many of you want to be pleasing to God?
Yes,
I don't
yes.
know about you. I want to be pleasing to God. He put a smile on his face. So
amen.
Let's all commit to doing that. to developing our faith like Abraham. Okay?
Yes.
We all ready?
Yes.
So let's just make a confession. We're talking about making declarations. Let's just make a declaration before we begin. Say, I will develop my faith.
Develop my faith.
Like Abraham.
Like Abraham.
Say this, I will. Develop my faith.
Develop my
and
faith.
And be pleasing to God.
Be pleasing to God.
Yeah, you can be pleasing to God. I can be pleasing to God simply by developing my faith.
Jeez, putting a smile on God's face. That's amazing. And here we go. This series is going to be excellent. I really am excited about this series because the Bible says that we're to follow the steps of Abraham in his faith. Yeah. And just like Pastor Mamie said, he wasn't instantly a man full of faith. As we see his journey, and we're going to take you through the journey, the development of Abraham's faith was a process. And that's on our outline. It's a process. Your faith development will be a process also. Yeah. And Abraham's development of faith begins with a pilgrimage. He steps out in faith and obedience, and it takes many years for him to develop his faith and patience. We see along the way his confidence gets built up, and his trust in God's word develops and grows in his heart, and he becomes confident. He reaches a pivotal point where his faith is tested. And he had already become fully persuaded in the promises of God. So he actually passes the test. And passing this test was so important because it made a way for God to send his son. You see, God needed a man. It might sound weird, but it's true. God needs you. He can't do what he's called you to do because he's put the responsibility on you to do it. He'll empower you to do it, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
So God needs a man. And he had been working with Abraham. And because Abraham passed this incredible test, that opened the door for the lineage of Christ. Okay? And through Christ, his shed blood on the cross, the salvation of mankind became offered to everyone who lives because of what the Bible calls our father Abraham.
Yeah.
And so we're going to learn about his faith. We're going to study Abraham, his life, the example of faith that he lived out, so you and I can better understand our own faith walk, so that we can come to the same place that Abraham did, that we were fully persuaded in the promises of God and what he said. So let's start off in looking at his journey. His journey begins actually in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, of course. And we don't know anything about his early life. The Bible doesn't declare anything about his early life. We meet Abraham at 75, and his name isn't Abraham. It's Abram. Abram. Abram and Abraham are the same person. And we'll look at that later. But on our outline, we're going to see a difference here. His name is Abram, and that means exalted father. Exalted father, Abram, exalted father. God later changes his name. It is going to be real quick here. To Abraham. And Abraham means a father of multitude. And we'll see the significance of this name change here later on in this series. So Abram grew up in a Babylonian culture in a city called Ur of the Chaldeans. And that's present-day Iraq. And they worshipped a multitude of gods. And one of their main gods was a moon god. The moon god's name was Sin. How appropriate is that?
S-I-N.
S-I-N, sin. Well, we get a clue right there. I'm going to catch on. But Terah was his dad. Now, Terah was an idol worshiper. The Bible declares it in Joshua, the last chapter of Joshua. He was an idol worshiper. And Abram is mentioned, like Pastor Mamie said, many times in the New Testament because he is worthy of looking into and studying so that we can operate in the same faith that he has. And Acts chapter 7, that's the New Testament. Stephen, remember Stephen? He was the first martyr of Christianity. He was stoned, and the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at the time, was standing there watching him be murdered. So this is what he says. Stephen is giving a message to the people who made the judgment that he should be killed. And in this message he gave to them, this is what he says. Chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, it's on your outline. The God of glory appeared to our father in Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to a land I will show you.
So what happens is the God of glory appears to him. His name is still Abram at this point. Mm-hmm. He's living in this Ur city, the Ur of the Chaldees, which is in Mesopotamia. Like Pastor Steve said, it's like in modern day Iraq. It was a very highly developed city, a metropolis. They did excavations of it. I think it was in the 1800s we were reading about. So they found that there was lots of arts, science, craftsmanship.
Library.
It was, it was a big place. Maybe the Dubai of that day or something. I don't know. But it was a large, well-developed place. But a very pagan culture, a pantheon of gods. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what form or appearance that God manifested himself to Abram at that time. But an interesting thing to note about it is that God took the initiative to reach out to Abraham.
Hello.
God took the initiative to reach out to him. And that's always the pattern that God interacts with people, with human beings. People often think, well, I was searching after God. I was looking for God. And then I found God. I found him. But the searching feelings inside of a person's heart that are, you know, looking, reaching out for God are actually coming as a response from God drawing them to himself.
Yes.
God is the initiator before we find him, so to speak. Look at how it's written in Jeremiah 31. It kind of describes the order of things. It says, the Lord appeared from of old to me, Israel, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. And continued my faithfulness to you. So God is the initiator behind the scenes, drawing people to himself. And we see the same truth written in the New Testament. Look at 1 John 4:19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. I mean, we didn't start this whole story. We didn't start the relationship. He actually started the relationship with us. You know, we even when we were dead in our sin, it says he was pursuing us in love, like you said, from the foundations of the world. You know, and again, we often think, well, I found God. I found God. I was searching and I found him. But God is not, in that sense, the lost one. We're the lost ones.
We were.
And it's like his voice has been speaking down through the ages, mm-hmm. behind the scenes of everyday life, the noise of everyday life. You know, I'm here. I love you. Come to me. Come to me like all you who thirst.
Yeah.
Come to me for living water. That's really what he's speaking to spiritually hungry hearts. And so then as we go about our life, it seems like there are times when our heart is open to that. Like we do become spiritually hungry, whether it's through circumstances in our life that just, you know, often it's like when we're hitting bottom in our life, that's an opportunity for our spiritual ears to be open and our hearts to get thirsty. Like there's got to be something more about life than this. And when we respond, we're actually responding to what's been initiated already by God, because I absolutely believe it's like it says in Revelation that the Spirit and the bride are saying, come.
Right.
Come to me. And so God sought Abram, and this is just also true of our life, your life and mine. God sought us out while we were still strangers and enemies to him. And this is on our outline. So in the relationship between God and people, God is always the initiator. He's always the one behind the scenes of life saying, I love you.
Yes.
Come to me for eternal life. Come to me, all you who are thirsty. And so, you know, in Abraham's encounter with God, he comes face to face with a command from God and a promise from God.
Right. In Genesis chapter 1, or not 1, but 12, we see this written. It's on your outline. It'll be on the screens here. Let's put that up. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to a land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse whoever curses you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. A lot of times we look at the promise and we forget the other part. Here's the commandment. God commanded Abram to do what? He had to do three things. Leave his country, leave his people, and leave his father's house.
Right.
We're going to look at those three.
So how many of us, if God spoke to you, would be willing to just leave behind everything that's familiar and go to a place that you don't know? I mean, pack it up and just take a step of faith. Like, God's like, well, I'll just meet you there along the way.
Yeah.
You're like, well, where is there, Lord? Like, where? God's just like, well, just head due north, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see you.
We'd be like, God, I have a cell phone, you know, why don't you send me a text link for a map? I could just Google where I'm going, Google some restaurants near me along the way, right?
Yeah, give me some falafels and some baklava and some
right, yeah.
Bubba ganoush, and yeah. I'll be set. You know?
Any hotel Trivagos, like from my, you know, right, for my camel's accommodations. I mean,
yeah.
He like had nothing else to go on, but right. What God just said, just step out.
Right, he had nothing.
Except
so he
for
stepped,
a direction towards Canaan.
He stepped
Canaan.
Out in faith.
Yeah.
All he knew is this is the word of God. Sometimes that's what God says to you. He's going to give you one word, and you have nothing else but one word.
Right.
You must step out in faith.
So,
but let's take a look. You know, the commandment's not easy at times, is it? Look at, think of Abram. Leave everything. And it wasn't easy for him.
No.
Let's listen. It wasn't easy for him.
Right. So he tells him, number one, God told Abram to leave his country. All right? Leave his country. So God's calling Abram to make a geographical change, a physical change of environment. He's saying, I want you to leave behind, I want you to walk away from a culture and a lifestyle that was filled with idolatry.
Mm-hmm. Everything that's familiar with him.
Right, so he's saying, leave that old country. I've got a new place. I have a new country for you to live in. Leave the old one behind. I'm going to show you a new and obviously a better place. And Abraham was willing. He was willing. He didn't have all the details. He had very few details, actually. But he was willing to turn his back on what many would say, well, hey, that city, man, has a lot of stuff going for you. You can do a lot of things there. You can make a lot of money there. You can develop yourself there. You don't even know where you're going. Maybe where you're going is not going to have anything like that. But Abraham was willing, in faith, to just take a step out into that unknown. And I do believe that Abraham was spiritually thirsty, and that's why he was willing to obey the voice of God.
Yes.
And this is really what God's looking for. This is what God's looking for him to act upon that little bit of faith that he had. Even when there are all kinds of unanswered questions after that, he's still going to ask us to just take a step, and he's going to say, I'll be with you when you take that step. And so, you look at your own life and you think, well, God doesn't generally always ask people to make geographical changes in their life. I mean, although he does, I mean, people are called to the mission field, they'll take off and go around the world for the sake of the gospel. But I think more often than not, for people like us that are Most of us in here are not called to go around the world in missions, maybe on a short-term trip, but not something long-term. But God is asking us to leave old countries, like old hangouts, in our life after we come to Christ. It could be anything. You could just go in your own world and know what that could mean. It could be bar scenes. It could be drug houses. It could be
Facebook,
social media sites. It could be porn sites, chat room sites. He's saying, you need to quit hanging out in that country. You need to move on to a better place with me and see what I have for you. And so this is on our outline. You and I are called out the same way to leave the old life with all of its selfish ambition and rebellion and worship of wealth and power and pleasure. God's saying, I have a different paradigm of life to show you in a new country. It's the kingdom of God. And so we have to be willing to turn our back and on the world system, which we've lived before we come to Christ. We've put all of our hopes in the world system of success and power and what it means in our life. And we have to be willing to say, I'll lay that all down and see what you have for me, Lord, to live according to the ways of your kingdom. Because the world system is set up, we've talked about this in the Mind Renewal series here previously, it's just set up on humanistic, secular values. And there's no plumb line of truth to it, especially anymore.
Right.
And even I would call satanic philosophies. I mean, there's just a lot of things in the world that, well, if we stay one foot in and one foot out, you can't make much progress if you got to get both feet planted in the kingdom to go forward. And that's what God is saying to Abraham. You need to get away from that idolatrous pagan culture and come and follow me and be willing to take a new perspective and see your life from the way I see it and for what I want to do with it.
Yeah, number two here, God told Abram to leave his people. Leave his people, that's his culture, the social environment that would lure them back and try to conform him to this world system. You leave your people. You know, in that day, family was extremely important, and extended family was really important. And what they would do, they would build onto the house that dad had built, and then the son and his wife would move in, and they would have their life there also. Then the grandkids, everybody would live in the same house. And it's not so in our culture, not so at all. We're blessed to have our son and daughter-in-law to be living in Butler. He's the student ministries pastor here. But our daughter's in Virginia Beach. And sometimes it's even further than that in families, halfway around the world. It's just how life is today. And in the ancient day, it wasn't so. So family was really important. So you've got to understand, here's Abram being asked to leave this. That's all he knew, but God is calling him away from that. Leave your people. Leave your country. Leave your people. And I'm going to show you where to go. You know why? Because family can sometimes stop you from following the will of God. Family can sometimes want to, not knowing, but challenge what you're doing for God because it's awkward for them. You know,
yeah.
They want to squeeze you back into the mold that they know because now it's easier for them. Because when you're born again and you start walking with God, the Spirit of God increases as you are in faith and obeying Him, and the light shines brighter, and those in darkness want to draw you back because they feel uncomfortable around you. It reminds me of Romans chapter 12. We just did a whole series on renewing your mind, and that's it. Because the world around, be careful, because the world around you wants to conform you into their image. They want to squeeze you into what they're doing. You know, it is the same thing with us. We have to leave that old stuff. We have to separate ourselves. We have to keep ourselves away from the culture that's going on. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're in a spiritual kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom. You're in the world, but you're not of the world, the Bible declares.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we're going to be shunning people. It doesn't mean that we're mean to people. It means that we are coming to a new kingdom with new ways of thinking and new perspective of life. And the more we understand the Word of God, the more we walk in the Word of God, the more we'll be different. Amen? It is true. This is on our outline. It means that we're not going to allow the surrounding culture and people to shape our thinking and our behavior. You know what? Even if it's family and friends, God's saying, you'll have to choose to separate yourself from this.
From some of them.
Yeah. He says, you need to follow me wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You know, we always see and love scriptures that Jesus is always loving us, always doing this, and we can just be, oh, we're dancing in the big meadow. But he's calling us into a life that is difficult, and it narrows down. It narrows down and squeezes. And that means we are going to obey him in times where it's difficult. Look at this scripture. Matthew chapter 10, this is what he says. He says, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's a tough scripture, isn't it, folks?
Yeah.
But this is Jesus speaking these words. Does that not relate to what God asked Abram to do? Leave your country, leave your people. Come follow me. That's what he's asking you and I, to make that commitment. Make that commitment. We see this play out. We've seen it play out.
Yeah. I mean, people sometimes don't understand that scripture. It's like, what? Am I not supposed to love my mom or dad and my son or daughter? Like, how does this work out in our lives? But like Pastor Steve is saying, if you get so tangled up in another person's life that, you know, their mismanaged life, if you will, sometimes, you know, you're always just interceding, you're rescuing, you're tangled up, and it gets to the place where it hinders your own commitment to go on and move on with God, then God is saying, put them in my hands and you just keep walking.
Yes.
Because sometimes we think, well, what about them? Well, put them, pray and put them in God's hands, but you keep your hand to the plow. The scripture says, you know, you can't just keep putting your hand to the plow and looking back. Because, you can't go in two directions. You're either going this way or this way. And God is saying, put your hand to the plow with me, and I'll take care of them. And we've seen this play out so many times. You know, you think, well, how does this work with a son or daughter? Like, kids, parents, catering. I mean, they have sports all week long and all weekend long now. Have you noticed? Sunday is just filled with sports teams things. And I think every parent, you know, you want your kid to excel. Everybody believes little Johnny's going to be the next soccer star. So it's like, okay, we're going to do everything we can to build him up into this sports person. And we can't come to church anymore because Johnny made the soccer traveling team, and so we'll be gone. And we've seen that over and over. I remember there was a family who came to the church years ago, and they loved the church. So you could tell they were affected by the Spirit of God. They came. The mom, dad were there. The son was there. after the service, they came back. They were like, wow, this is awesome. And one child gave their life to Christ. And they were like, this is what we've been looking for. They came a few weeks. They were on fire, had passion and zeal. And then all of a sudden, they came the one week and said, hey, you know what? Our son made the, I think it was the
traveling baseball team.
And darn it, you know, we're going to be traveling every weekend for the whole summer. I was like, oh, really? That's too bad is really what I wanted to say. But it was like, well, I'm glad for him that he made the team. But I also knew scripturally, spiritually, the danger that you also open yourself up to in doing that. It's like, well, then, okay, then that's going to become your focus. And, you know, we won't be back till the fall, but we'll be back. And they did. They came back after several months away. But it wasn't the same. You could tell. Like, the zeal was just not quite there. It's like, we're back. You know, we really want to get into this again. And it just was diminished. They came for a few weeks, but then there was the fall high school stuff that went on the weekends. And so it was spotty here and it was spotty there. And pretty soon you just hardly saw them come to church at all. And months later, we were in Staples and we ran into the mom. And she was so excited to see us. Oh, hi, how are you? And
I
got to get back to church. I just love your church and love. I just felt God there. And she was just all zealous about what she felt. And I'm going to get there. I need to get back. I'm going to see you there this Sunday. And we're like, well, yeah, sure. Sunday came and Sunday went.
Sunday came and Sunday went. Never saw her.
A couple more months or so went by. It might have been even longer than that. Phone rang. Church phone rang. Hi, it was her. And she said, oh, you know, we've just been going through so much in our family. And I'm just, you know, with my kids. And she said, my mom's been sick, and she had a heart attack. But as soon as she's better, we're coming back to church. And I thought, she's like, I'm calling. Would you pray for her? Because I know that, you know, I felt the power of God in the church. And so, yeah, I'm sure I prayed with her over the telephone.
Never seen him.
But she never came back to the church. Because she kept saying, when my mom's better, I'm bringing her back to the church. And, well,
you got to understand, you become spiritually weak without food.
And that's the point to the story, because that Matthew 10 scripture that we just read, people don't understand that there's not really neutral ground. Like, when God's opening up the door, he's opening up the door. He's saying, take a step of faith with me. And if you have to leave some things behind in order to find me, I just want to see, does your heart really want me, or does it want the world more, if you will? And so God opened an opportunity for this entire family. I mean, God was drawing them. They sensed, they heard his call on those first visits to the church.
Right.
You know, but the things in life, just all the cares of life. And as I said, it wasn't something evil. It wasn't like, well, I want to go serve a pagan god and not come to church. It's like, it was a sports team. That's not evil or sinful. But there are choices. There are just choices that God puts before us. And we will kid ourselves if we think we're going to grow in faith with God and know God deeper if we won't have to give up some things to do it.
Right.
This is just the nature of when we look at Abraham's life, we go, oh, I see. So faith means I have to lay some things down, leave some things behind in order to find more of him. And God just waits. God waits on us to obey that step that he puts in front of us. And there are windows of opportunity. I absolutely believe that, because we've seen that over and over again just as pastors, that you could see when a window of opportunity is opened up. Spiritual ears are open. Hearts are thirsty. It's like God saying, they get a drink of living water. And they're like, oh, that was awesome. But if we resist, if we just turn away, it's kind of like you can compare it to the parable of the sower, too. Because in the parable of the sower, that second soil, it said they heard the word, they received it, they were excited, yeah, awesome. And the plant grew up, something sprouted up. But it said when the heat came and the sun came on that plant, because it had no root, it scorched it and it withered and it died.
Persecution because of the word. Yes.
And so that's what happens. I mean, persecution, you would say, well, were those people persecuted? Well, they weren't really persecuted, but there were choices that a person has to make in order to take a step to follow God and go deeper with God. And so, you know, we tend to think, did God stop speaking? No, he's always speaking. He's always the initiator saying, come to me. On your worst day, when you feel like it is as quiet as ever, the truth of the matter is God is there.
Yes.
He never stops speaking. It's just our own hearts have kind of, after resisting him and making decisions that don't go towards him, our ears get dull. Our ears just get dull.
Yes.
But when we make a decision to respond in obedience, it goes the other way. That's the good part. You know, when God is asking us to take a step and we obey,
yes,
we find that we actually have grace to take more steps. Because sometimes we think, how will I leave that behind? How's this so hard to leave that behind? God's just saying, if you take a step of faith, I can give you grace to actually not like that anymore. And then you feel like, it wasn't even me that did it. It was God that just helped me move forward. But he does wait. He waits on us to take, you know, an obedient response.
Right. Respond in faith. You know, that's it. And then number three here, God told Abram to leave his father's house. Now, that might sound just like the same thing we've been talking about. Leave your father's house. I mean, spiritually leave for us. You know, we're leaving the kingdom of darkness and we're walking in the kingdom of God's beloved son. By faith, we're walking in the kingdom of light. We've got to understand that. Our kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. This body's going to perish. It's going to turn to dust. But you will live on. You are a spirit being. So we have to leave his father's house. Abram had to leave the father's house. That's the old house. That's darkness. That's ruled by Satan. That's ruled by your flesh. Ruled by your Adamic nature. He's asking you to leave that house and come to a new country. That's why we have to be born again. Because without being born again, you're locked in darkness. You have that Adamic nature that controls you. You could be really nice. There's a lot of good people going to hell. Don't get me wrong. A lot of good people going to hell. Because they are not trusting in Jesus, that sacrifice. They're trusting in their own works, which is, the Bible says, filthy rags to God.
Yeah.
You and I, we need to be born again. This is all spiritual reality if you open it up your eyes to see it. Leave your father's house. Leave that old kingdom of darkness. Come into the light. And it only happens through Jesus Christ. Our old nature used to live according to our flesh. The five physical senses. That's it. And when you judge everything by the five physical senses, you miss out.
Yeah.
Look at this. On your outline, when we answer the call to follow God, we change spiritual houses. We change spiritual kingdoms. Our residency changes. You're now, if you're born again, you're a citizen of heaven.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And you know what that means? When you give your life to Jesus, you're no longer in charge. Thank you. You're no longer in charge. He's king. He's not voted in by us.
Democracy. No.
He's king.
He's a theocracy. Yeah.
When king says something, it's law.
Yeah.
You do it. He's king.
Well, we could argue with him over and over again, but have you noticed you don't get anywhere? He just keeps pointing you back to his word. It's like,
right.
My word is forever settled in heaven.
Our dependency now comes on God, and he likes that. He likes when we're dependent on him because he knows he can guide you into the promised land.
Yeah.
The promised land. Look at, this is the second thing on our outline here. God's kingdom is a kingdom governed by faith.
Yeah.
It's governed by faith. You must have it. You operate in faith. That's how our kingdom works.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Your faith can change your circumstances because that's how our kingdom works. We're not in this. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We're not locked into the things of this world. If we understand the spiritual reality, our faith brings what we need. Our faith accomplishes what we need. But it is His business we must be about. He gave you and I one job, the Great Commission. Faith is the sixth sense. We're above the five physical senses. We belong to a different kingdom.
Right. And the faith, if you will, is the language of heaven. That's how God speaks to us. It has to become more of a normal way of life for us to step out in faith upon God's word and trust that He'll meet us there. And that's learning to live again, like you said, not governed by touch, taste, smell, you know,
right.
Feeling. Yeah.
You see this building? This building you're sitting in is done by faith. Yeah. Faith brought this building to us. Faith. It's faith. Stepping out is what we had to do ourselves. God called us. And we had to leave. We had to leave people, family, jobs. 1992, it happened. Well, I think the call was coming earlier.
Well, but we didn't listen to it. It's sort of like one of those windows of opportunity when we were in our early 20s. We sensed something.
Oh, my gosh,
but
that's
then it's
what you
shut.
Mean.
Till we were 35. It's true, though.
Yeah,
it was like you're spiritually hungry again for more. But we didn't know when we stepped out to really learn to walk by faith. We didn't know. We knew where we were going to in ministry. We knew the state but we didn't know other details, like exactly where the jobs would be, or exactly
we had no jobs.
How much income, or the schools that our kids would attend. I mean, we were going to be driving one car instead of two. How would we exactly have enough money to pay tuition? Like all those details were not all worked out. It's like, God, do you have anything else you could tell us about? About any of this, it sure would help me sleep better at night, you know? I remember making plans to pack up our house and quit mm-hmm. our jobs. And we had two cars, two small children at the time. We sold one of our cars, you know, just so that we'd have enough money for tuition and just get us started out there in ministry training. And I remember just going over in my natural mind, like, God, how's this all going to work? Like, am I doing the right thing? How are we going to live on one income? And my family,
we didn't even have an income.
Well, I mean, we would when we got out there, but coworkers, thought we were crazy. I was a nurse at the time. An old high school friend, there was a class reunion in town the month before we were leaving, and she knocked on the door, and it's like, hi, she's from California. What are you doing? And she said, I heard. I had to just come see to be sure you had your mind on straight. I heard you sold your house and you gave all your money to some kind of ministry or something. I thought maybe, did you get involved in a cult? And I'm thinking, no, my head's on as straight as it's ever been, you know, but I know it sounds crazy to you. It's like, now my world is turning right side up.
Amen.
And I know to friends and family it appeared really radical, but to God, he was like, this is not unusual. This is how I'm going to teach you to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
And I just remember finishing up those final days at work at the hospital, going to a 3-to-11 shift, and I had just sold, my car at the time. And thought, you know, the devil's sitting on my shoulder. You are stupid. Like, you just sold your car. What are you doing? You don't even know where you're going to work. How are you going to pay your bills? Like, you're making a big mistake. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, God can hear all those worried thoughts going around in your head.
Hello.
And I knew, though, I knew one thing that the Lord was speaking back to me. Put this on our outline, because this is what you have to be. What we all have to just keep leaning into, Hebrews 13:5 says, let your character be free from the love of money. This is the Amplified, including greed, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said,
listen.
I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down and relax my hold on you.
Yes.
One more time, God says, Assuredly not. So it was like I knew he was speaking that to me before I went to work on that shift that day. It was like I had to make a decision. Am I going to walk by sight, which means take your job back, go tell him I want my job back, stay put, not answer the call of God, or just to believe his promise found right here in the Word of God, step out in faith.
Yes.
And God spoke to us in 1993. Then he said, I'm going to give you a church. We knew that the day would come, we'd come back to Butler and begin a launch, pioneer a church. But it took 10 years. We were at Victory Family Church for 10 years before that even happened. So it's taken some time. It takes some twists and turns. It takes some patience along the way. You know, just like a willingness to endure hardship when you go, God, like I thought you said, and where is it, and why?
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't hear anything except he just points you back to his word and says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you. Just keep taking steps.
Never changes his mind.
And so now in your weakness, though, in those moments, he's building spiritual strength into you to go, you know what? He won't leave me, and I will keep walking. I will keep taking steps towards the promise. And
that's
so
good.
Our faith for building here has become sight. It's like, so here we are. And this building is better than we ever expected.
Yes, that's for sure. Glory to God. Yes. You know there's a lot more to come. Lives being transformed, changed through the ministry of Community Life Church. You know, our faith sees three services here, one Saturday night, two on Sunday. Filled with families and people who are on fire for God, who are filled with His Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, in unity, joining us in the mission that God has put toward us to touch this city and the surrounding areas with His love. Calling into the darkness, those who have ears will hear.
Yeah.
And they'll come into the marvelous light and be born again. Transfer out, just like Abram. And it took Abram 25 years for his promise. Then took us 24 years for the promise. And this promise continues. It's not over. We see this building debt-free in Jesus' name.
Amen, yeah.
We see the people of this church debt-free in Jesus' name.
Yeah, yeah.
Walking in the blessings of Abraham. Yeah. And we're going to find about what is that? What did God promise Abraham? And if we are Christ Jesus, we are heirs to the promise of Abraham. If you're born again today, open your hearts. God's going to fill them. We're going to have a partner meeting here coming up in July. If that stirs your heart at all, we're going to have a partner meeting. We're not calling it membership anymore. We're going to call it partner, because you'll find Paul, the Apostle Paul, used that very word to the Philippian church. And when you partner with a ministry, guess what? If you partner with a ministry, that same anointing that is on that ministry covers you. You partake of that anointing. These are spiritual realities. We are excited about what God is doing. We are excited about what is... You know, that there's incredible power in unity. And we come together to accomplish what God is said to do. We become an unstoppable force.
So let's just bow our heads for a moment. I think the Holy Spirit has been speaking to hearts all along the way through this message, helping us to understand some things that maybe God is saying, I need to leave behind. I need to take a step of faith forward. I just give you a moment here to just solidify with God your answer to that. So ask Him, help me, Lord. I'm leaving. Not even just to say I want to leave, but just say by faith, I'm leaving that old life behind. I'm leaving those old places behind. I'm coming. I'm making steps to walk with you.
Yes.